Please turn with us to the book of Acts, the ninth chapter of the book of Acts. Ninth chapter of the book of Acts. We're going to start reading at verse number 36. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Verse 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them, and when he had come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed and turned him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Let us pray. Father, again, I thank you for this wonderful account in the Word of God. And Father, we this morning, as we preach from this text, we need your help, we need your power. We ask you, God, to help us as we bring forth a message we trust that will be a blessing to the people, that you'll be able to encourage their hearts and help them and also challenge us, all, as always, Father, to be better for you than we've ever been before. Should there be anyone here this day that's not saved, Father, we certainly would love to see them come to know Christ as their personal Savior. And Father, we just put this time into your hands, this message, this messenger. I need you. I need many things from you, Father, but I need your wisdom and power to preach this morning. And I'll thank you for it, praise you for it, in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Going to preach a message this morning which I have entitled What She Left Behind. You know the story of Dorcas here, Tabitha, interpreted as Dorcas, and how that she was really well loved by the widows of that day, and she got sick, the Bible says, and she died. And of course Peter come on the scene, and we find that there she was raised from the dead, and everybody was happy and rejoicing because they loved her very much. She had made coats and garments for the widow ladies. And I look at this and I think about the good deeds that Dorcas did. What a blessing she was. I don't think she was any what we would call some big shot. I think she was just quietly working and serving God, just doing those things which was helpful to the saints of God, and thought about her a lot of times. And so I want to preach a message concerning her. And she left some coats and garments behind. And I want to talk about some coats and garments today that we can leave behind. The Bible talks about her alms deeds, her good works, the things that she left behind. And I wonder, and I just kind of want to challenge us this morning, what's it going to be when we go? What are we going to leave behind? Now, you and I know something. We both know something, that works never got anybody saved. Now, we all know that. We're well aware of that in the scripture. Works is not what saves an individual. You must be saved by the grace of God through faith. Amen. That's the way you get saved. We know that. We understand that. Only by our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the perfect one, could we ever, ever be born again. At the same time, after we are saved, we all certainly ought to do good works. I believe that is in the scripture also. That's what we should do after we're saved. But let it be known, understand, you're not saved by those good works. The reason I'm stressing that is because multitudes of people that I've met along the way. Well, how do you know you're saved? How do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Well, I've always treated my neighbor right. I've done this, I've done that, and I've... No. You don't get saved by any of those good works. If you could get saved by good works, you'd be boasting all over heaven about what you did. Amen. We can't boast nowhere about us and us getting ourselves ready for heaven. Now, I think I'm just stressing that because I want you to understand that. So when I talk about good works, I'm talking about things that we ought to do. I'll make a point of this later, but we already know that she was a disciple because she was called a disciple in the first verse that I read to you. So we know she was a disciple, but she done a lot of good works. And I thought about that, and I wonder, what are we going to leave behind? What kind of works are we going to leave behind? And over in Revelation, the 14th chapter, 13th verse, it says, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." You know, one of these days, and that's going to be true of every one of us unless the rapture happens. I vote for the rapture. I don't know about you, but I vote for the rapture. It'd be all right if he come right now. I'd like to see Jesus come. But anyway, if time goes on, we're all going to pass over this thing called death. After death, you can't do any more good works. None of us, after we're dead, is going to do any more physically good works. We may leave what we've done, and maybe that'll do some things, hopefully. But you and I is not going to do anything else that would be considered good works once we die. So what I'm saying to you is this. What are we going to leave? What are we going to do? What did we do this past week that only a Christian would do? What did we do, spend time this last week, that was a blessing and a help and a good work that would be considered a good work? Amen? So what we need to do, and remember, it's not the good works that save you. We know that. But what good works should we do? Isn't there some things that we ought to do after we're saved and be sure that we do this on a continuous basis, that we just do some things for the glory of God? I mean, I just believe that they should be. I'm just going to kind of make a point or two here. I think we ought to be remembered for the good works. Now listen to me. There's a lot of people who do good works. There really is. And I'm convinced of something. I'm convinced that the smaller things of life is what God is real interested in. Now, I'm pastor of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But, you know, I don't think in heaven God's going to say, "Oh, look at the Pastor Ross, that great pastor down." No, I don't think he's going to do that. I think he's going to look at my individual life. You know, there's a lot that goes into Blessed Hope Baptist Church. There's a lot of people who's put a lot into Blessed Hope Baptist Church. God has put me here as the leader, as the pastor of the church. But there's a lot of people who's put their time and energies and money in Blessed Hope Baptist Church to make it go as it's been going. But I believe God's going to look at us individually and say, here's what they did. It's just like here, they looked at Dorcas and she made coats and garments for the widows. Just simple things. And it was well accepted. And I just happened to believe something. And listen to me, folks. I'm all for family. I don't know whether you knew it or not. I've got 12 grandkids. My wife and I have got 12 grandkids. Did I ever mention that? We have 4 children, 12 grandchildren. You see, I try to mention that. Try to get that in at least 2 or 3 times a week. And I'm proud of them and love them, and I just love my family, and you love your family. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. But listen to me. It's not just doing good for your family. See, this is where we make mistakes. You go back and you say, "Oh, Brother Ross, you know, I do good works. I do this, I do that." But who for? Who for? Why don't we get our minds, and will we do things for our family? Yes, we will. And should we? Yes, we should. And it's a wonderful thing. But listen to me, it's got to go deeper than that. Who did she do it for? The widow ladies. Those that had need, that couldn't have any other way to get anything. Do you hear what this preacher's saying? Do you understand that we need to leave behind some good works? I don't think that she went around bragging about this. I don't think she went, and there was probably a lot of people didn't even know what was going on in Dorcas's life. But I want to tell you what, she left some wonderful good works when she left this place. You hear what I'm saying? I guess what I'm saying is this. Don't you think we ought to leave some garments behind? The garments of good works? No, just getting our heart and our mind off of ourself and our little group and our little contingent of people that we know, and spread out and do some things for some people who really have need. I'm talking about real need. See, I don't know. I think every man in here will say amen when I say that. I don't have much respect for a man who won't work. I'm not talking about somebody who just won't work, that we ought to help. Every man ought to work. Right? But there is folk who just need help. From time to time. There's not a one of us from time to time probably hasn't had a time in our life when we needed help. And I'm just saying, don't you think that we ought to have a background that said, you know, we looked at people's needs and we met those needs. And when one of these days, not for the benefit of us just being honored or glorified whatsoever, but they'll be able to look and say, you know what, look what they did. You remember what they did for the glory of God, and that's, we'll talk about that later. Do you understand we ought to leave behind us some garments of good works? We ought to build those up. We ought to be stacking those up every day. See, and we ought to be like a Dorcas, and not, you know, just even the little small areas of life, the little things of life that we're talking about that can be done for the glory of God. You see, not only that, I think we need to leave some garments of gifts of needs for people who really are in need. I believe there is people out there in need. I believe one of the greatest gifts you can give a person is time. So one thing you can never gain back. If you give me 5 minutes of your time, you'll never get it back. Yeah. It's gone. And there's so many people out there that just is looking for someone to give them a little time. I have a real heart for nursing homes. I mean, I really do. That's why we minister in 5 of them and do more than that at times. But I have a real, real concern and a burden for those, because I want to tell you, there are people mainly that no one really cares much about. Maybe the people that work there and things like that do care about them. But I want to tell you something. Many of them never get anybody to come in and just sit down and talk to them. One of the greatest needs, one of the great ministry needs is just going in, sitting down, listening, and let them talk. I'm saying to you, how many times do we do that? What do we offer? What do we leave behind? How about not just time, but provisions do we give toward the needs of people? I'm talking about real needs of people, you see? A listening ear. An ear that's just willing to listen. Amen. I learned this a long time ago, but when I go into some place like a hospital or someplace, I want to be a listener. I don't want to be a talker. You know why? They're the ones that's sick. They're the ones that needs to hear. Now, once in a while, you want to say something. You want to talk to them. You want to encourage them. You want to help them. But be there to listen. Amen. Donna and I visited Tina, I think, twice in the last 2 days, and she asked me about my condition, and I told her I was okay, but I didn't want to talk about me. I want to talk about her. She's in the hospital. I wanted to hear about her. Didn't want to hear about me. Do you hear what I'm saying? people out there that just need someone just to listen to them for a little while. Amen. Not only that, I think we ought to, there's some garments of words fitly spoken that we ought to leave behind. Listen to what the Bible says. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Listen to another verse of scripture in Proverbs 25. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. There's a story goes about this young man. He was a painter. This kind of painter, painting pictures. And he really wasn't very good. And he tried to paint and paint, and he was proud of his work, and he thought he was doing a tremendous job, but he just couldn't sell many of his paintings. Come down to it, they just wasn't that good. He had a friend of his that was a wealthy man that said, you know, I feel sorry for him. The man is living in poverty, so I'm going to purchase one of his paintings for quite a price to help him along, to encourage him. He took this painting, although he didn't really like it, he took it and he bought it and paid the man for it. And he went out and had it framed in a beautiful frame. Gold inlaid, and you know, and just a beautiful frame they had made for it, and put it, the picture in it, took it home and put it in a room that was probably one of the leastly used rooms. Soon after that he put this picture up, the story goes that a burglar broke into the house, came in that very room where it was, into that window of that room, and broke in. And right after he got in, the alarm went off, burglar alarm went off, so he didn't have time to really steal anything. And so the man who owned the house was telling this painter about it and said, you know what he did? He took that picture down off of the wall. That painter was feeling good about that. He said the very first thing he wanted was that picture. And he said it was amazing what he did with it. He said he took the picture and he just ripped the picture right out of the frame. And he said, man, he wanted my picture. He said, no, he left the picture and took the frame. But I got to thinking about that. And I think in the scriptures here, I think in the scriptures when you talk about these apples of gold and pitchers of silver, I think it's not necessarily talking about a pitcher. You ladies all have some beautiful rings on. And some of them have little tiny diamonds. Some of them may have great big diamonds. But mostly they're probably little diamonds in here. But the most beautiful, what makes them diamonds beautiful, is the setting that they're set in. And I think it's what God is saying. It's not always the words that we say, but it's the setting that they're set in. I go to hospitals, I go to funeral homes, I get into all kinds of situations where people are having problems and troubles. You understand what I'm saying? And you know, it usually is not the words I say. Because a lot of times, what do you say someone has lost a loved one? You just say some kind words, you just say some things that are nice and kind and do your best to say them, but it's the frame in which you frame them in. The fact that you was there. The compassion you showed when you said it. See, there's more to it than just the words. It's the frame you frame it in. You understand? See, and I think that's what the Lord was saying to us. I'm going to tell you a little story. This literally happened to a man. See, we've got to be careful about the garment of our words. There was a man told me this. This was a Christian man. He said, this literally happened to me. He said, I went into a store. And he said, I was in this store and something happened. And the man that was waiting on him did something that was, and I don't remember the whole story, but he did something that just wasn't good. And he said, I just chewed him from one end to another. Just chewed him out. I got him told. Well, what was funny was the next Thursday night or whatever night it was, he had visitation. Guess who opened the door? The man he had just chewed out in the store. Now tell me what kind of a witness he's going to have to this man. You see, you got to be very careful about the words and how you frame them. You're going to say, Brother Ross, is it hurt sometimes? Is it right? Is it proper sometimes to have to speak and to be firm? Yes, it is. As a pastor, there's times when I have to speak in a firm way. If there's an individual doing something they should not be doing, I have to address that as a pastor. When there's people who are unfaithful that's serving in this church, I have to address that. And it needs to be addressed. Because the young people of this church is more important than that. But you do your best to frame it in the very best way you can to get it said as correctly as you can without just ripping apart. Hear what I'm saying? Hear what I'm saying? But does it have to be said? If you boss people, if you're over people, if any of you's been over people, do you have to correct the employees? If they're not doing correctly, do you have to correct them? Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do, or you'll have a mess on your hands. But you do your best to take those words and frame them the very best you can. You understand what I'm saying? I remember a story from George Bernard Shaw was an English playwright. And he lived in England, of course, and he lived in the days of Winston Churchill. He had a very dislike for Winston Churchill. So he sent him a note one day and he said, here's two tickets to my opening play, the opening night of my play. He says, come and bring a friend, if you have one. Winston Churchill sent a note back thanking him graciously for the two tickets and said, sir, thank you so much for them, and I will come the second night, if you have one. Those are not exactly the best way to frame words. But you have to be careful and leave behind. You know what one of my greatest concerns is as a pastor? Can I just share this with you? That I would have a confrontation with someone. There's nothing wrong with having a confrontation if you need to. But that I would have the wrong kind of confrontation with a person and the next day get a call that they're in the hospital and I have to go visit them. I always want the relationship to be in such a way as the next day I can go and sit down beside their bed and pray with them and thank God for them and ask God to help them. But words do have to be spoken. What are you going to leave behind? You see, I've seen people. Well, I'm going to tell you, they're not going to tell me what to do. I chewed them from one end to the other. And I'm glad I did. I'm not going to put up with it no more. And if I just chewed them out, shame on you. Shame on you. What a testimony. What a wicked testimony. We've got to learn to speak words and leave words of garments of words behind that'll be good and proper. And when you do have to say something, you've said it because it needed to be said, and you've done it and you framed them with a frame that'll help them to be received. You better be careful what you leave behind, the garments that you leave behind. Then also, whose name did Dorcas leave these garments behind him? Who are we leaving these good works behind in? Let me show you something. Go with me to the book of Acts, the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. 9th verse. But there was a certain man called Simon, which beforehand in this same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. Who was Simon doing all of these works? In whose name was he doing them? In his own. He was regarded as a great person, a great person, a great wonderful person. I'm afraid today, if we don't be careful, we're doing things, instead of for the glory of God, we're doing them for our benefit. We're doing them so that we will be made known. I know there's a lot of organizations around, and that's okay. There's a lot of organizations that's doing what we would call good works. You know, the Red Cross does a lot of good work. But they don't do it in the name of Jesus. They do it in the name of the Red Cross. I'm not against what they do. I'm just simply saying. There's a lot of the United Way and all of these hospitals a lot of times. They're not doing them in the name of Christ. They're doing them in their name to be glorified. What is the motive of our heart? Dorcas's motive of her heart was, and look at the 36th verse of chapter 9. Says, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha. You know how I know that she was doing it for the glory of God? Is because she was a disciple. She was a disciple of the Lord. She wasn't doing it for Dorcas's sake. Boy, we've got to get off of this. Got to get off of this doing these things and good works so that we will be honored. And one of these days someone will say something nice about us. That doesn't matter. It's important that someone says something nice about God and his work. And that's what Dorcas was doing. She was giving God the glory because she was a disciple. No doubt whatsoever who she was. They knew she was a disciple of the Lord. Now who do we do? Or who do these good works? Who are we giving the credit and the glory to? Who are we doing it for? Are we doing it so we'll be remembered? For our glory? And then I want to ask you, the things that we're doing, is verse number 39 says, are we doing them so they'll be useful to those who are receiving them? Look at verse 39. Then Peter rose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with him. These were things that was done that they could use. These were coats and garments to keep them warm. Folks, what I'm saying is, what do we do? What do we give out? What do we do that's useful to those who are the receivers of those things? Or are they just a bunch of junk? Are they things not even worthwhile? I want to tell you something. While during the time of my sickness, I received some of the sweetest cards that I'd ever want to receive. Kind, gracious cards that just, not a lot of times, sometimes there was quite a bit written on it, sometimes it wasn't, it doesn't matter, but they was kind, gracious cards. And let me say something to you. I've still got them. Probably keep them for the rest of my life. And if you didn't send a card, that's okay. I'm not talking about that. I'm just simply saying it helped me. A little girl here in church, one of our bus kids came up to me and said, "Pastor, are you going back in the hospital?" And I said, "Well, honey, I don't intend to." And she says, "I sure have been praying for you." With such a sweet and wonderful wonderful look on her face. I've been praying for you. You want to tell me that don't mean something? You know why it meant something? I knew it come from the heart. I knew it come from the heart. And I knew the telephone calls, the personal words that people would say to me. Since then, Pastor, I'm praying for you. Don't you know that helps? Don't you know it means a lot? Amen. Don't you know when you're cold and gifts of warm clothing mean something? Don't you know if you don't have any shoes and someone gives you a pair of shoes, it means a lot? Don't you know the things that we do leave behind ought to be worthwhile things? Not just junk. Kind words that mean something, that comes from a heart, not just a spit out of a mouth. And there's a difference. Amen? Take those things that we leave behind and use them to bless others with. Is there things that you are leaving that God can use after you're gone to bless others? I have my nephew, seen him yesterday, my sister and her husband, Virgin, and her husband celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary. And we drove down yesterday afternoon and spent some time with her, with them. And I got to see my nephew, Carl David, and thank the world of Carl David. He's my oldest brother's boy. And I preached my oldest brother's funeral. There's not a time that I ever see him, not a time. He came up to me again, "Oh, Uncle Bobby," he said, thank you for preaching my dad's funeral. And he said, "You gave the gospel. Thank you so much." As I remember, there was some saved there. I can't remember how many, but there was some saved. He said, "Thank you." He tells me that every single time he sees me. And you know, I didn't consider that something great. That's just what you do. But to him, it meant everything. And every time he sees me, "Uncle Bobby, thank you. Thank you so much." Gives me a big old hug. Don't you think we ought to be leaving some things behind that's going to matter later on? And you don't, that don't happen by accident. That happens by planning it and doing it and being it. You see, in verse 42, listen. He says, "And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord." This whole thing brought people to Christ. Oh, I know she was raised from the dead. I know it, all of it was involved. But this whole thing, this whole story brought people to Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about. The garments that we leave behind ought to in some way bring people to Christ. That's the whole story. Amen. I don't know that this will happen, but the day whenever somebody preaches my funeral, whenever that is, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if there'd be some people saved at that funeral? I can't think of anything greater to happen than to have somebody saved at my funeral. I just think that'd be wonderful. I would like that. So don't you think it'd be a great thing that these things that we leave behind, these garments that we're leaving behind, would be used to bring people to Christ? Amen? You see, it's not all about you. It's not all about me. It's about the work of God. And we need to leave some garments behind us. Check your life out. What have you left? What are you known as? Are you known as somebody just chews everybody out when you see them? But are you, no one going to get by with that with you. That's what you'll be remembered as. Or maybe never left any garments of good works. or good words, always critical, always down, why don't we leave some good garments? Amen, like Dorcas did. Let's bow our heads, please. Close your eyes. Just want to speak to you a moment right before we give the invitation. Say, Brother Ross, I'm here today, and I do not know if I died right now for sure that I would go to heaven. I just do not have that assurance. You might even say, well, I think I would. That's not good enough. That's not good enough. You need to know when you die, you'll be ready to go to heaven. And you can know that. No shadow of doubt. You can know that. Say, Brother Ross, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But I'm concerned about it. Will you please pray for me? Not going to call your name out. Not going to indicate who you are. You say, just pray for me. Lift your hand up, please. Just lift your hand up. Say, I want you to pray for me. Just want you to pray for me. And I'll do that. Anyone, please. Say, okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Say, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm ready for heaven. Anyone else, please. Say, Brother Ross, I need to check up on this garments that I'm leaving behind me. I want to leave something good. I want to be able, when I'm gone, to leave some things that are right and good and proper, be helpful to the work of God, helpful to other people. And I need to correct some things. I need to get some of those things straight. I need to do a better job of leaving the garments. Say, Brother Ross, will you pray for me, please? Just raise your hand, please. God bless you. God bless you. Yes. All over. God bless you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Anyone else, please? Just need to leave some good garments. Thank you. I see your hand. God bless you. Put them down. Thank you. Father, I want to thank you again today for your grace, your mercy, your kindness. I want to thank you for who you are. You're the great, the true, the living God. And I want to thank you this morning, and we want you to be honored and glorified in all that's said and done. I trust, Lord, that you will take this time and use it for your glory. This one that raised their hand, not sure of salvation, I pray, Father, you'll deal with their heart and help them to step forward and come and receive Jesus that they might be saved. I pray also, Father, for those who raised their hand and said, I just need help in this garment matter. I need to leave some things behind. I need to correct some things and leave a better testimony behind that I can be a blessing to other folk and to the work of God. So, Father, I pray for them, ask you, God, to have your perfect will in their life and help them this morning to make those decisions that need to be made. We'll thank you for it in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen.